Hey friends, welcome back to the Special Kind of Motherhood podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful week. I hope you've been having some nice spring weather and that you've been able to get outside and enjoy your garden. Today, I want to talk with you about the spring pantry and what it is I'm going to actually have in my spring pantry. I'm going to make this a two-part series where basically today I'm going to share with you why I try to do a seasonal pantry and what that looks like for my family specifically. So if you are someone who really struggles with trying to figure out how to stock your pantry, if you are dealing with food allergies or food sensitivities, definitely stay tuned because I will share with you the different foods that we avoid in my household. And then next week, I will actually share with you what I put in my pantry so that you can kind of see a real life picture of this is a list of foods that we avoid, and this is how I make it work to still try to have a pantry that I can rotate out with the seasons and then not have to stress and worry about if I have enough supplies to make meals and dinners. And this has been something that's really been a great time saver for me. So just stay tuned because I think it can really be a good time saver for you as well. Also, really help to decrease your mental stress load when you're not having to wonder if you have all the ingredients that you need to make a meal for your family. You can just know that it's there ready to go. So let's go ahead and get started. Hi friend, do you dream of having a garden but you don't know where to start? Do you want to switch to more natural products but feel overwhelmed by all the options? Do you believe that a holistic lifestyle would help your special needs kiddo but you're daunted by all the information out there? Welcome to the Special Kind of Motherhood podcast, where you will learn how to work towards your dream for homesteading, gardening, and holistic living in small, simple steps that won't overwhelm you. Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm a wife, Jesus follower, and mom to some amazing kids. As some of my kids began experiencing health struggles and developmental delays, I decided it was time to switch to a holistic lifestyle. I quickly became stressed out and burnt out, feeling like I needed to change everything at once. I finally realized that I had to start making one small change at a time, then build from there. I learned to walk this holistic journey in a way that works for me and my family, without stress or overwhelm or constantly feeling like I wasn't doing enough. If you're ready to hear from another mama who understands what it's like to have no time and who can help you make changes towards better health for your family in a way that works for your specific life, then this is the podcast for you. Pop in your earbuds, reheat your coffee for the third time, and let's do this. Friends, the garden season is upon us and I am so excited about it. I actually really want to be able to share with you what my garden looks like, update you on like different pictures and stuff, and kind of share with you the layout that we have throughout this garden season. So if you want to be able to see what that looks like for us, like I've shared before, we actually are just gardening in our backyard. It's very simple. I have to get very creative with space and just how to grow as much as I can as possible in a small amount of space. So if you really would love to see maybe some videos or pictures or anything like that, then head over to our free Facebook community and join us there because that is where I am going to be sharing those types of things as we go on throughout this gardening season. You can find us at bit.ly/motherhood community, and I hope I will see you there. So what I want to start with is explaining to you kind of how I do our pantry. And we do actually have a specific room, like we basically have a pantry room that I am able to use, but we do keep deep freezers in there as well. So the entire space is not just like pantry shelves or anything like that. And again, we don't live in a very large home, so I do have to get creative with my space. And often I wish I had an even bigger room, but I am very, very thankful for the room we have. And what I like to do is try to keep enough in my pantry that I'm not having to run out of anything. So I'm not having to run to the store last minute. I'm not having to be in the middle of making a dinner and then realizing I don't actually have the supplies I need to make the meal and then having to try to switch or decide to what to do if I or like find a substitute, something like that. I just don't want to have to manage that in my mind. It just creates a lot of mental stress and burden for me. I've done that before where I would just go grocery shopping like every week and I would get all the supplies I needed for that week. And I just found myself having to run to the grocery store a lot more, or like we would change our minds and decide we wanted something else, but I didn't actually have the stuff for it. So then I was having to either run to the store or just make something that didn't even sound good. I like having a well-stocked pantry because it just makes my life a lot more flexible and it creates a lot less stress around mealtimes. And if you are looking to make more meals from home, in my opinion, having a well-stocked pantry is really beneficial in ensuring that you are successful in that because it kind of removes those excuses of, oh, well, we don't actually have the food and it would take just as long for me to run to the grocery store as it would to run through the drive-thru or whatever. I have just found it's really helped us. We don't really eat out a lot at all. And I think a big reason for that is because of the fact that we have such a well-stocked pantry that it's like we don't really have a reason unless we are out of town and we are like taking kids to doctor's appointments or we're on a trip or something like that. Then we do still eat out. But outside of that, just on everyday life, we don't really have a reason to because we have plenty of food at home and we have such a variety of food that we can pretty much just make whatever we need to, whether it be some like a quick option or something that will take longer or something I can just quickly throw in the Instant Pot or whatever. There are just a lot of different options available to us because I am going to talk mostly about dry goods in these upcoming episodes, but we do also keep, we actually have two small deep freezers and then a very large one. And we keep like a good supply. I will find different things on sales and we keep a good supply of different kinds of beef, chicken, pork. I also, we do shrimp, stuff like that. My kids can only drink A2 milk. So I use half of the large freezer whenever I go because we actually go to Brahms because all of their milk is A2 milk and we don't have a great supply of raw A2 milk locally. So whenever I go to a Brahms, I just stock up with enough milk for like a month's worth. And I just throw it all in the freezer. So I want to say this is not like the full picture of my entire pantry because I'm mainly going to talk about dry goods and like canned goods and things like that. But we do also keep a freezer full of all of that types, different types of meats and things like that as well, which just makes it really easy to pull something out. And I do tend to like pre-cook ground beef and different things to try to have a very fast meal option. And I also keep things like frozen gluten-free chicken nuggets on hand for the kids and even for us if we need a really fast meal. Costco has some gluten-free pizzas as well that I will keep on hand to throw in the freezer for the kids. So that's kind of like a bonus, I guess, because I wasn't really planning to get into the freezer. But I do want to give you a full picture and say that we do have those areas as well that do ensure that we are able to actually cook from home just because we have such a good supply available to us. So I wanted to start with that and kind of explain. I do like to switch with the seasons. Now, I don't switch with all four seasons. What I tend to do is I will switch in the spring and I have kind of a general types of foods I keep for the recipes that I will cook in the spring and summer. And then in the fall, I do the same for the fall and winter. So I only do it really two times a year because I find for us, we are cooking more like soups and like casseroles and stuff like that in the fall and winter. Whereas in the summer, we're going to be having more fresh salads and things like that. And I don't find it necessary to switch for all four seasons. For me, what works best is just doing it twice a year and then kind of having in my mind, okay, these are the general meals that we're going to cook. You know, I'll have 10 or so meals in my mind of like, this is what we like to eat during these seasons. And then I do like to try new recipes if I have the time. I don't have like, oh, I said it where once a month I'm going to try a new recipe. It's not anything like that. It's more so if I see something and it sounds really good or I'm kind of feeling really bored with what we are currently eating, then I will look for a new recipe and add that in to my next grocery shopping list, which I do only grocery shop. What I try to do is a big one once a month, and then I will go back like 2 weeks later and just fill in with like fruits, vegetables, that type of stuff. And that works well for me because I don't have to spend as much time either grocery shopping every single week. But yeah, if I decide, okay, we really did like that recipe, then I'll just kind of add that back into the list of things I need to keep in my pantry or in my freezers to make sure that I have all of the ingredients I need on hand for that meal. So I kind of add it into the rotation basically. And I will also say I am not a big like meal plan kind of person. So I'm not sitting down. I have done it in the past and it's fine, but it's just not something that I typically do a lot of. I don't sit down and say, okay, we're going to make these five meals this week or whatever. I know what I have in my freezer. I know what meals I can cook because I have a pretty consistent amount, like a pretty consistent, not amount, but recipes that I use. So I keep those same ingredients unless I'm wanting to try something new. But of course, that's forefront on my mind because I went and got the ingredients for that. So I just don't really find it's necessary for me to sit down and plan these meals out just because I already know what all I can cook. And I kind of at the beginning of the week will in my mind create like a rough idea of, oh, these are some meals I think I want to try. but I'm not super strict about I have to cook these things or these are the five meals for this week, just because I find I have, like I said, a lot more flexibility having a well-stocked pantry and knowing those foods that we need to be able to actually make the meals that we really enjoy. And I find that to be very freeing. Now, if you're the person who needs that meal plan, that's okay. That's do what works best for you. I just want to share with you what works for me, because it might give some of you the permission to not feel like a failure if you can't stick to a meal plan, because you just may like to be able to have more of that spontaneity. I find that is true for myself. I feel very boxed in if I have to have this set five meals that I feel like I have to cook, and I tend to not want to cook them. So for me, just keeping the ingredients, knowing, hey, these are the 10 recipes that we really love during these different spring and summer months. And if I want something new, then we'll try it. Or if my husband says he really wants me to cook something that I am not normally making right now, but he wants it, then I'll make it. It's just for me, it's about having that flexibility. Also having kids who do have a lot of aversions to different foods, I just find I have to be flexible, and I'm often trying different foods for them just to give them the opportunity to try them that they don't necessarily always choose to eat. And that's just something I, again, for me, it's about flexibility. I have found for my family, having that flexibility, not having to be rigid, has worked best, because I really do want food to be a happy memory and not something that creates stress in my kids. And that is my goal. And so far, you know, we're making good progress in that area, which I've talked about that in previous podcast episodes as well. But that's basically what I do. And that's why I want to share with you, since, like I said, I shared my fall pantry list last fall, I want to share with you now what the spring pantry list will look like. And I will say that last fall, the foods we were avoiding, I'm not even sure if I shared those or not. I can't remember, but I'm going to share them with you now just because it has changed a little bit. We actually are avoiding some foods that we weren't before and some foods we're not having to avoid. So it's just switched up a little bit. And I do think telling you this gives you a little bit more of a better picture of why we are choosing these different types of food and why maybe some things that you would think would be very common you might not find in my pantry list just because we can't necessarily eat them. So this is not foods that everyone in our house is avoiding. So everything I list off does not mean everyone in our house is avoiding all of those foods. My husband doesn't actually avoid any of them. This is just basically an accumulated list of all of the foods that we do have to avoid. And to be honest, we actually have some cross reactions to foods that we should avoid, but it can become very overwhelming when you're having to avoid things like apples and eggs and, you know, different types of fruit. It just can become very overwhelming. And so I have to do the best I can with what I can right now. And so for me, definitely avoiding the things that I know are going to cause upset tummies, are going to cause eczema outbreaks and things like that. That's top priority for me. And then as we can, we go down the list of those things that we know our bodies are cross-reacting to, especially myself and another child who tend to have more of things along the line of autoimmune issues. We just tend to cross-react to foods, and that's just part of it. And so it can be very difficult to avoid a very long list of foods. So I just do the best I can. And I also want to encourage you in the same. If you find yourself struggling, just start where you can and do the best with what you can for now. If you can't avoid all things that aren't causing a severe reaction, it's going to be okay. You can take small steps and get there eventually. So with that being said, what we are avoiding right now would be gluten, dairy for myself. My kids can do A2 milk and they do fine on that, but other dairies they really don't do great with. We also avoid different types of nuts for some of my kids. So things like cashews and almonds, they don't do well with. Another thing we are avoiding for myself actually would be grains. I have been removing all grains from my diet and feeling better from that, but most of my family does consume, actually I think all of my family except for myself consumes grains. So we do kind of have flexibility with that just because I'm the only one not eating them. I will still cook them for my family and stuff like that, and I will just eat something else. I do also really try to avoid seed oils. So this would be things like vegetable oil, canola oil, different types of oils that have a high level of PUFAs in them just because they are extremely inflammatory. And whenever you are dealing with some kind of chronic health issue, that really is the last thing you need, is to be creating that inflammation in the body. There's also a protocol. It's called the Nemechek protocol that I have done with my kids before. Dr. Nemechek is his name, and he really, really talks highly about avoiding those PUFAs, those seed oils, just because they are so inflammatory for the brain. And especially a child who has autistic traits and things like that, it can create a lot of negative impact for them. And so whenever I really started cutting that out, he recommends replacing it with a very good quality olive oil. I did start to see a lot of improvement and progress for my kids. It's something that honestly is a very straightforward protocol. It's something we tried very early on, and I did find it to be beneficial, but there's just so much research talking about how unhealthy these seed oils are for us. So that is something we try to avoid if at all possible. We do obviously still get it sometimes. My kids still eat some chips and stuff like that, but for the most part, we do not. I absolutely don't cook with it or anything like that just because it is so inflammatory. It actually can also cause damage in your gut as well. So if you're really struggling with different autoimmune issues and things like that, it really can be just detrimental for your body overall. So we avoid that as well. I also try to avoid sugar. I will give my kids things like different organic cane sugar types of things. But for the most part, I don't give them a ton of sugar either. They do still have treats and stuff like that, but I try to use like an organic cane sugar or a coconut sugar or something along those lines for them. And then for myself, I don't consume it other than the occasional treats, or if like we're doing like a fun weekend with friends or something like that. But outside of like on a daily basis, I'm just not choosing to consume it, again, because of the inflammation that it tends to create in my body. And I just feel better whenever I don't have it. So that's something that I tend to avoid as well. So I will use things like monk fruit in its place. And I really do like that. So those are the main things we do avoid. There are things like, I have a child who cross reacts to apples and bananas, and I myself cross react to pork and eggs, and there are those types of things. But again, we don't completely eliminate those. I do still have eggs. I don't have them every morning because I find I just cannot tolerate them. But if I do them like once or twice a week, I can do okay with them and not. What tends to happen for me anyways is I will get like some sinus congestion, my nose will start running nonstop, and I just don't feel great. But I have found if I can space it out a little bit, I can still do okay with them. And the same for my child who does cross react to things like apples, strawberries, and bananas. Those are fruits that he loves, but if we just don't give them to him on a daily basis, he can still consume them to some degree. And we do also have some supplements that our natural doctor gives us to kind of offset that cross reaction. So we do have those things in our home as well that I'm juggling at the same time, but they are not the main focus for us. The main focus of like, these are the things we just need to try to avoid if at all possible, are the list that I gave before. And that has been really helpful for us in everyone just feeling their best. And what I've noticed is, if we go places, none of my children are anaphylactic to any of these foods. I have had a child who was anaphylactic to eggs in the past, and that was a totally different thing. Absolutely, you have to be extremely strict. I remember having so much anxiety anytime we would go anywhere when he was smaller, because I was so, like, to birthday parties and stuff, because he couldn't even have the baked birthday cake because of the eggs in it. And I would be so anxious that he would get a bite of eggs or something like that. So if that is you, I want to say I absolutely understand your situation, and we have been there before, but that is not the situation we're in now. So if my kids go hang out with grandparents or whatever, I do allow them to consume some gluten. I don't make them miss out or whatever. Just because that's what I've chosen to do. But I will say I do notice the negative side effects of it, in the sense of like they might get a rash or be a little more cranky. And I do obviously know how to help their bodies to kind of come back from that. And that's kind of why I let them do it more so. I used to be very strict about it, but I was also very stressed and overwhelmed trying to manage that. And so what I've had to say is, okay, I've got to give myself a little bit of grace here. They can consume it to some degree. I will kind of help their bodies spring back. And, you know, once we get everyone feeling a little bit better, I might be able to feel like I have the bandwidth to get back to that point of just making all the stuff and sending them down there with all the pre-made different things that they need to avoid their food allergies or food sensitivities, I should say. But that's just not where I'm at right now. And I am very thankful that I do also have family members who are very thoughtful in asking and making sure that they do provide them snacks that they know will be okay for them. Like we don't consume food dyes either. And so I'm very thankful that we do have family members that are very thoughtful about that. And then we'll try to get them different things that they know that they can eat and that they will enjoy and that won't bother them. And so I try to find a good balance of like, okay, you can't pig out on everything, but at the same time, if you want a donut that someone brought, it's okay. Like you can eat it and we can move on. And so I hope this has been kind of encouraging for you and just seeing a little bit more of what it really looks like as you have multiple kids who are different, having different reactions to different things and how to juggle that in a way that feels manageable. Because trying to do it all perfectly, I have done that before, and what I found is it only was sustainable for so long, and then I just felt like I would have to spend a lot of my time trying to manage that. And so for me, it has been all about simplifying meals, simplifying the pantry, keeping things very basic of like, this is what we can and can't eat. And then also letting go a little bit when it comes to those times when we do go to celebrations and stuff like that. And just saying it's going to be okay. Instead of just being so stressed out, thinking that they were going to have a bite of something that I didn't see, or someone was going to offer them something because they didn't know, and then they're going to have a reaction and it's all going to be horrible. I couldn't manage it anymore. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are feeling that way, obviously, first of all, pray about it. If you have a child who's having severe reactions, I'm not recommending that you give them the food. That's not at all what I'm saying. You know your child, you know their specific situation. But if it's something where you feel like their health is just going to go in the toilet if you don't manage everything perfectly, I just want to encourage you and give yourself a little bit of grace in this area, and to know that you can support their body in detoxing and getting back to normal. And again, it's not like you're doing it every weekend. You know, when my kids go and do this, it's like every couple months when we're doing some kind of super fun thing or whatever. It's not like it's all the time. And so that's what I have to remind myself, is it's all about finding balance and finding a way to do this, to give our kids the best life possible, to help them to be as healthy as possible, while also not ruining our own health by stressing ourselves out so much by thinking we have to keep up this level of perfection that really is just not possible in this day and age. And it can just, if you're the person who can do that without any stress and overwhelm, then that's amazing. I think you should continue to do it. But if you're the person who is struggling, but feeling like you have to do it and you're stressing out because they had a donut at grandma's, I just want to encourage you to give yourself a little bit of grace. And I also want to encourage you really to come back next week, see what's in my pantry, and see how you can kind of minimize that amount of stress you feel around food and around trying to feed your family healthy. Because that's what I've found to work for me, and I want to share with you next week what my pantry looks like. So I hope I will see you back next Tuesday. Have a wonderful week. Hey mama, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who is wanting to live more holistically without the overwhelm? Also, don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave me a review. It blesses and encourages me to know that this show is helping you. All right, friends, it's time for me to go work in the garden and make some homemade bone broth. I will see you back next week.